session number 10768, reel 1.
Mr. John Granger, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Granger?
I was born in 27 September 1899 at a little shop just corner of Edmund Street in Seeley. Must have been about 12 months after that, after I was born, my parents changed their address because they sold the shop and they got a private house, a terraced house in Shawcross Street, which is about a quarter of a mile distant from there. I was the second one of a family of eight. There were five of us lads and then three girls.
And your father worked in the shop. Did he own the shop?
He owned the shop, but it didn't pay, so that's where he had to go get out. It was more or less a dead loss. And then...
What did he do after he left?
Well, he was a master tailor type of thing, and both him and Mum, they worked from home, and they used to get this tailor's work from town, top of Bridge Street. Well, a firm called David Jones and Company, and they used to get the work and bring it home, then make it, and he'd take it back in again. And during that time, while we were in this Shawcross Street there, the children kept coming back in, hardly annuals, and when I got to about 10 years of age, he moved from there because he wanted an extra bedroom. There was only two bedrooms down there until we got about a family of four. Then we went just about a couple of hundred yards further out, and we went up another street just close on where the reservoir was, and that was a three bedroom house. And
what were conditions like during your childhood? Were you comfortably off, do you think?
Well, I don't know whether you call it comfortably off. We didn't suffer anyway. I don't think there was anything we missed as kids. We didn't go out on continental holidays like they do now. If we got a day at the seaside as a gang, that was us. That was how people lived then. But we got good enough. We got, as my dad always used to call, plain frog. You see, good plug, solid food, and we got all wholesome food. We never went short of, we were never hungry.
What about your education? When did you go to your first school?
Well, when we were at Shawcross Street, the eldest lad, the one older than me, it was when he was just about turned five. He went across what was the old recreation ground to St Ambrose School, Liverpool Street School. And when he went and I couldn't go, I played absolute hell till such time as my dad says, well, bloody go to school. And he took me in the school. Well, I was in the class with him right through school. But I was 12 months younger than him, getting the same education, and it was a good education. There was no nonsense The teachers were absolutely fantastic.
What was so good about them? What did you like about them?
Well, they understood us. We were disciplined. We knew we'd got to learn, and we did learn.
What were the subjects they taught you mainly?
The three R's were the basic: reading, writing, and arithmetic. And then we got English and history and all that. We got a smattering of everything, but the three R's were the maintenance of the education. And when it got to about this 1905, we'd only been over there about two seasons, and then we were all transferred to Liverpool to Seedley Council School up here.
Seedley Council?
Yes, and I was just down the road here, and we both were in Standard 1, and we were educated there right through. And in those days, there's no such thing as teachers going on strike, because they've got 20 in a class. The teachers that were there in that school, they had 40 in the classes, 40 of us. And when it comes to, say, Standard 4 or 5, something like that, they'd have two lots of four, or 40 rather. They used to split the classes up, there were that many. But we had to attend, and we knew who was the boss, and we appreciated the teachers. Teachers were never afraid of us. We never did anything like that. We got a good education.
What sort of discipline methods did they use?
Cane. I got bags of cane. That's what the shorts off today. If anything went wrong, if any of the lads, say, threw a bit of a fag end or anything like that, a piece of chalk at the board when the teacher's got his back to it, who did that? If nobody owned up, right, all out, half a dozen strokes apiece. But if the fellow that owned up, we got to know that it was better for anybody to own up. But all the class sort of back him up. There was none of that nonsense. And so, the cane, we got plenty of cane. And as you see odd people in the papers rising today, it never did any harm to any of us.
What sort of methods did they use to teach you the three R's?
Well, the good thing about it was, you were one teacher for 40, we say. He was a teacher. He got his education, and they could teach us everything. And certain times we got quite a bit of homework to bring home. Whilst there was myself and my eldest brother, and as the other lads were growing up and going to school, one thing about my dad, he only got sort of a tailoring type of job, but he could read, he could write, and he taught us all to write properly, he did. And he made sure we got a good education, and he helped us all with our homework, and we all did that. And when I was 13, I passed through what was called Standard 7, and I could leave, but I was only 13. Well, at that time, there were two education examinations. One was to the Salford Technical School, like a sort of bursary, for 3 years. That was if you were in industry, like wanted to go for engineering or anything like that. Otherwise, if you wanted to go on the, what do you call it? wasn't there? Yeah.
What sort, do you mean?
Well, that you could then go in for what they call a labour examination, and if you pass that, you could leave school and get a job right away when you were 13. Well, I went in for both of them, and I passed both of them. And then I went home, I had the job of which am I going to do, so I just put them on the table and said, certificates. I said, what do I do with that, Dad? Who is this? He says, get uptown on Monday morning and get yourself a job. And that's what I did. I went uptown on a Monday morning, and in those days, when there was a boy who wanted, he used to stick a notice outside where the building was. And the first one I saw was in Mosley Street, boy wanted. So I went upstairs and got the job.
So you went into the commercial side?
Yes.
Which is the second type of exam?
Yes. And then it's... oh, it says, when can you start? I says, now. So I just started there and then. £5 a week.
And what was that firm called?
It was a firm called J.F. Coates and Company. What they did... They made stamps. They were on blocks of wood and patterns done in copper, and they were for stamping for all the cotton manufacturers to stamp the grey cloth before it was exported. And I used to take them round the stamp when they were finished to these different warehouses, and they used to the big tanks down about 2 foot square pads was all the ink on, and they used to stamp the grey cloth from the
So you were delivering?
I did that to a certain extent. I was doing the ordinary office work, taking patterns, you know, answering the telephone and taking bits of messages and all that, but I was there for a matter of week in the following year, and
so till you were 14.
Just before I was 14, yeah. And one thing that what did this fellow say? While I was at that place, I also had to go twice a week on the train to Hazel Grove, because there they had a wallpaper pattern making firm, and I had to take the trademarks and the patterns for the wallpapers to and fro from there. And I used to go on the train, and the first time I went out to go there, they knew the fare was ninepence, you see. It was a ninepence to return to Hazel Grove, and I got me ninepence. And when I got to the London Road Station, the ticket fella said, how old are you? Because it was only about bigger than a couple of matchstocks. I said, I'm 13. Oh, he said, you only want half then, don't you? Because I'd been twice before and paid the full price. So he gave me four and sent me back. So Jack didn't bother. That was his act. So I was getting 9 pence a week. This was nice and happy spending for me. And then they rumbled me about the week, you see. And I got on the wrong up with them, you know, over the whole thing. And my dad says, well, back up, bring your jug and cup home. Had your jug and your cup of blue and your tea, I don't understand. Says, bring your jug and cup home and go and get another job on Monday, you see. Anyway, while I was waiting on my sodden daughter's business, the old man saw an advert in the paper, wanted apprentice clerk for a steamship company. Well, he said to me, he said, I've never heard of an apprentice clerk. He said, you better write and see who it is. And when it came, I got a reply, and when it came back, it was with the Belfast Steamship Company. And their offices was just higher up Maudley Street. And I went there to see the boss just before Whit Week, on the week, Friday, coming Whit Week. And he says, well, how much wages did you want? So I said, Bob, I put it for a shilling. And he says, right. He says, we'll let you know. And he says, we'll let you know. Well, eventually, I think it was the next morning, I got the notification, a letter rather, and it was from the Belfast Steamship Company, and it had one of the established 1881. So the old man said, well, if the firm's been going that bloody long, it'll last you your life out. Get his answers, which I did, and that was all that. But to make everything quite good and official, I thought, well, I better send a notice to the other firm, a letter, to tell them, give them my notice. Well, Whit Week in Manchester, most of the firms, it was all a split week. You had the Catholics, but all the C of E's all marched through the town on the Monday, and the Catholics on the Friday, and it was completely shut up then. Everybody was off, there was nobody working, and they also had odd days as well. Anyway, I knew that this firm of mine was only used to work on a Tuesday, and that was it. Then they had the rest of the week off, but I knew where the manager lived. He lived up Chapel Street, Salford, in one of the old big Georgian houses there, and his name was Mr. Sudlow. And anyway, I wrote on Saturday and to give him my notice, and I said, well, I was at the office there. I used to go through all the letters in the morning to see if the stamps had been properly, what do you call it?
Franked.
And any that weren't, I'd steam them, take them home and steam them up. But I had a steamed up stamp to send my notice in. Only a penny stamp in those days. And of course, instead of putting gum or anything on, I just dipped it in some condensed milk. And stuck it on with that. Come the Tuesday morning, I go sailing upstairs, you know. Five bob for nothing here today, because I get my full pay for all of it. And as I got to the top stair there, when the office door opened, the clerk that was there, he looked at me, he says, get in there, he says, and don't say anything. Well, I just went in there, and he's there standing with his backside to the fire, and he says, man, look at me. Oh, he says, come in, sit down. So when I sat down there, I'm scared to death, but he starts. He says, do you imagine in any way, shape or form that I am going to pay you 5 shillings for just coming in this morning till dinner time, and that you're going to pack up then, and I've got to get somebody else? Well, he says, you've got another thing coming, he says. He says, I am not paying you 5 shillings for coming in this morning. He says, I'll pay you 4 and 10 pence and you can bloody get out. He says, do you think for one moment that I'm going to get up on a Sunday morning, which I had to do, to pay the postman 2 pence, they double the postage, to get you a notice, so just get your 4 and 10 and get out. So that was the end of me there. And I started on the Monday then at the other place.
What were you doing at Belfast Steamship Company?
Well, I started right away on the shipping side. You see, there was ship. They had a series of ships from Manchester and from Liverpool, and well, most of the coasting ports, you see, and of course there were all sorts of jobs to do.
What was the basic business they were doing? Could you just sketch that out?
Carrying all cargoes and passenger ships. They had passenger sailings from Liverpool every night to Belfast, and these cargo ships from Manchester here twice a week, you see, shipping all the cottons out from here, bringing all the potatoes in from there, you see, and lots of cattle and sheep used to bring over on the cargo boat. And we were doing, I was doing such things as manifesting and customs work, you see.
What's manifesting?
Well, I was making the ships manifest out, list of the ship's cargo. You see, we had to put a sender, consignee, goods, weight, rate, freight charges, and yeah, the sheet were on sheets like this, 40 lines on the sheet.
And how did you find that information out? Did you actually go on board the ships, or were you done?
Oh no, all the cargo was delivered down by one way or another down to the quay for the ship, and the checkers checked it, and they took the delivery notes in the office, actually on the dock quay, and then they used to come up to the office in town, and the manifest was made out from those delivery notes. And the same when the stuff, when it come inward, you see, the manifest would be sent up to us beforehand. We'd get it before the ship, and then we'd make the delivery notes out for the cargo that's coming in, and we'd send them down to the quay, and then from those all the stuff was delivered. Well, it was very interesting.
What about the customs work? What was that?
Oh, well, that's a subject you just simply can't describe. It covers everything. But there were such things as... we didn't do much of that till after I came out of the army, the customs side.
Well, we'll leave that.
But
you say it was very interesting. What was so interesting about it?
Because you were dealing with everything, from a pin to an elephant. You had to ship all sorts of cargo, in all sorts of rates, you see. You've got you make your manifest out, as I say, you've got your sender, consignee, goods, weight, rate, what the charge was for the freight, and then you got the what they call paid-ons. Well, they were extra charges for insurance, on one thing and another, say extra cartages, and then you had your gross total, and then all those, when you finished all those and the cargoes had gone, those all had to be made, all the paid items had to have accounts made out for them, you see. So there you got your accounts department, you see, and you had your rates department, and of course it was interesting, there's no doubt about it. But in the meantime as well, while I was there. So when I started that place, well, I started going to night school when I was 13, you see, when I was at the first job.
And what night school course were you doing?
I went Monday, Tuesday and Thursday every week. And when I went to night school, I'd see the same school, but I'd had my day school education. And there were as many people in the classes at night then as there were in the day school classes.
This is a Seeley school, Seeley school.
There was as many of us in the classes. Maddy Dad was not the same classes. Well, what you had to do then, you had to take five subjects in the 3 nights. You could do 4 single ones and then a 2-hourly one. Well, you could take, shorthand, typing, arithmetic, carry on with your arithmetic, accountancy, and all the rest of it. Well, every year end, you had the certificates that were from the Lancashire and Cheshire Education Committee. You had to go in for there, the LCA examination. And if you passed the first year, say, and you got anything over 60% of your marks, you got a pass then, and you get a pre-admission the following year. Now, if you cleared 75%, well, then you got what was called a pre-exhibition. And with that, you got a pre-admission plus so many books for the coming year. You see, so many of your books. That was all free. Well, I passed every one of them right the way through. And when I got to the last year...
Did you get the free courses or the exhibitions?
Everything, yes.
Free exhibitions?
Yes, every year. Never cost me a penny for my education, and I got all my books. I got my shorthand dictionaries and arithmetic books, and I was even going on to trigonometry at the time then. That was only when I was only 17. And I was getting on so good with the accountancy that the teacher that we had, I'd been going there for, well, I'd been going 4 years, a lot of them were changing all the time, you know, but I'd stuck it for 4 years, and on that fourth year, just before going up to me going in the army, this fellow was teaching me. He used to come up in the class, when we were in the classroom, I'd sit at the top of that corner there, and he'd come up and he'd give me something to do, or give me a quarter of an hour with him, and then there'd be something to cover, and then he'd carry on with the rest of the class. And by that means I got extra education. So I went in for the Society of Arts in accountancy, and I passed that. And in the meantime, I'd had to pack it then, and I went to the army.
No, you were an apprentice.
A born apprentice clerk, yes.
What was the apprentice part of it?
I don't know, I never found out.
You weren't really an apprentice?
No, I was learning, that's all. Put it down to that, you see. But when I went in the army, I could do anything at the firm, as regards the accountancy and rates, and I was exceptionally good at arithmetic.
How many were there working in the office?
There would be about a dozen there then.
How many lads? How was it organised? How many lads and how many?
Oh, there was only me and another lad, and then there were so many accounts clerks, and then there was, they had one or two outside canvassers that used to go out canvassing and collecting overdue accounts. But
Were you still just a learner when the war broke out, or had you been promoted at all?
Oh, I'd got to. You just got your advances every year, according to what they thought you were worth. Well, I got mine during the year. When I went in at 17, I was getting I'll be getting about 30 bob a week, something like that, easily.
Now, what did you do for recreations while you were a young lad?
When I was a young lad, let's put it this way, I used to go 9 to 5 and 9 to 12 Saturday at work. And then I walked home from town to Icefield Road, where I lived, which was nearly a couple of miles. I walked there in the morning as well, you know. I got no tram fares then. And then Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, obviously, night school, 7 o'clock till 9. I'd got to be home and get me tea before I went to night school. And I went Monday, Tuesday, Thursday night school, Wednesday homework, and then Friday, Boys Brigade, Friday night.